I'm going to be doing this morning's scripture reading as well with you. We're going to be looking at Nehemiah 2, verses 1 to 4. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now it had not been sad in his presence. And the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? There is nothing but sadness of the heart." Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" Then the king said to me, "What are you requesting?" So I prayed to the God of heaven.
Do you tend to think of prayer as being the opposite of action in God's work? And how then does prayer, if it's not the opposite of action, fit with God-fueled action? Well, today's Bible text really gets at this whole issue of how the prayer and the action of Nehemiah in God's work went together. We see both prayer, humble dependence on God and calling out to God, and action. And Nehemiah exemplifies this bold and continuing prayer that resulted in action. This is a model for us as individual believers. This is a model for us as a church. When we see needs in God's work, we pray, and as we pray, God moves us to act. Prayer without action is just some sort of exercise in something that's not really biblical, and yet action without prayer is equally unbiblical. We pray and also act in unified gospel mission here at TCC in 2021. That's what we're talking about today. So we're talking about how kind of prayer and planning for doing God's work fits together. Nehemiah, by way of background, if you were here with us last week, you remember this. He was a cupbearer to the Persian king. The people of Israel from Judah had been brought into captivity, and Nehemiah worked his way up the ranks. It was a quite prominent position. God's people are in exile, and yet some of God's people have been sent as returns to Jerusalem. In 536 and in 516, of course, remember B.C., the dates get smaller as you move along because we're moving down towards zero. And the news reaches him in 445, thereabouts, as we line up all these things, that the wall of the city of Jerusalem is in great peril. And we can think of the wall as like God's work. For them, doing the wall was God's work. For us, doing the work of the gospel in the mission of God's church as we proclaim Jesus and grow in him and worship him is doing God's work. That work was in peril. What Nehemiah did, we saw last week, he grieves. When he heard about the work not being what God wanted to be, he was heartbroken. And then he prayed. He grieves and prays for 4 months as we line up the months of the Jewish calendar. And so Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 4 is just a wonderful example for us as we consider God's work in any way being broken down or less than it ought to be. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I asked us to consider last week, and once again this week, we're just thinking about this. Where do we see the walls of God's church broken down? Where's their idolatry rather than prioritizing God? Where's trusting ourselves rather than being prayerful? Where's there the compromise of God's truth rather than faithfulness to Scripture? Where are people passive spectators? Wherever they got that idea, I don't know. Rather than serving, Where are people flying solo, thinking, oh, I'll just be faithful to Jesus all by myself and disconnect myself from connecting with God's people? Again, an unbiblical notion. Where are those folks in among us? Or maybe where are those areas in our hearts where we are stagnant, not growing in Christ? Where are we selfish, thinking mostly about our lives and how we can make them better on our terms rather than engage in compassionate action and doing the work of God and blessing people in the name of Jesus? And where is fear controlling us? That's a broken down wall. God wants us to be engaged in communicating His gospel as individuals and as a church, even in difficult times and places. We're praying related to those walls. And of course, Nehemiah did that. And yet, today we see how he kind of moved ahead even further. Today we're considering four facets of prayer for planning and doing God's work. We're looking not just at praying, but we're looking at how does that prayer result in moving toward action. We don't stop praying, but we don't just pray. Individually and collectively, I want us to consider four things today. First is bold and persistent requests. Nehemiah exemplifies this facet of prayer. The second is quick and quiet requests. This is a wonderful thing. I'm very encouraged by this. Quick and quiet requests at the right time, in the right way, for the right reasons, are really, really important for us to be moving forward in planning and doing God's work. And then we need to notice God's answers. It's tragic when people are praying and then they're not noticing what God is doing. We need to notice God's answers. And then we need to call others to notice God's answers too. One of the fatal flaws of many people's prayer lives is it is entirely an individualistic thing. That's not biblical. Biblical prayer is done in community with God's people, in connection to a unified mission of God. And Nehemiah called others to notice God's work and to act as well. When our kids were growing up here at Trinity Community Church, and of course that's a long time ago, but they did this wonderful little skit, which is a musical, about Nehemiah. And I've got this song in my head. I've got to sing a line, because there's a line in that skit that I just totally love. As these little kids were standing up here, and the song line was, "Let's live for Jesus like we've never lived before." Isn't that a great line? Let's live for Jesus like we've never lived before. Individually, in our families, collectively in God's people. Let's live for Jesus. And of course, we're not going to do that by trusting ourselves, going on with life as normal. We're going to do that as we're calling out to God and engaging in these kinds of facets of prayer individually and collectively as a church. So let's talk first a little bit about bold and persistent requests. Last week, as we ended the service, I gave you a little assignment. I don't know if any of you took me up on this, but I said to imagine something that's kind of seemingly impossible that would make God happy. And I said, pray for that. Pray for that. Individually, in your family, in your opportunities, or whatever around you. As you think about Trinity, as you think even about the nation and the world, where you see things are broken down, don't go, oh, that's too bad. Pray with boldness and pray persistently. Nehemiah did this. Pray wherever your church or your part in God's work is broken down in the mission. This is what we see in chapter 1, verse 11. And we see it then now fleshed out as we turn the page into chapter 2. I want to talk a little more about that. So the summary, his bold and persistent prayer, there in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11, as it comes down to like, whoa, man, that is bold. He says, as he prays to God, give to success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. And now I was cupbearer to the king. King Artaxerxes is this man. And if you read Ezra chapter 4, verse 21, And Ezra's kind of interesting because Ezra's talking about Ezra's time, but he goes forward to the time of Nehemiah as he's compiling this text and brings it into the situation. He actually tells about this time when the building on the wall stopped, and it was King Artaxerxes, the very king Nehemiah was praying for favor in the sight of this king, who had decreed it to stop. Do you realize what he's praying? He's praying that what he had decreed, this king would now reverse. Let's just consider bold and persistent prayer as we talk about 21 days of prayer. God is calling us individually and collectively to be in prayer for the advancing of his work in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our community, in our region, in our nation, and in our world. The work is not going to go forward unless we are on our knees before God asking. Please join us in that. And pray boldly and pray persistently. In Nehemiah's case, it was 4 months. It was a season of prayer, and he prayed with that kind of boldness. As we turn the page into chapter 2, then we see the story continue. Now it's the month of Nisan, 4 months later, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him. So Nehemiah was now doing his job, bringing the king the wine, making sure as he tasted it, it hasn't been poisoned, it's good to go. I took the wine and I gave it to the king. And then it says, now I had not been sad in his presence. So how is it Nehemiah had pulled this off? Was he not on duty any in these 4 months? Was it like, oh man, you know, I got to really, really work it up. I'm going in there. I don't want to show the king I'm sad. We don't know. But for whatever reason it is, Nehemiah had not shown the king the true sadness that he had yet. The king hadn't noticed it. But today he did. And this is big. Because being sad in the presence of the king in that Persian context was not a good thing. They didn't want unhappy people around. If you were sad in their presence, you could lose your job instantly or be killed. Like, I don't want that sadness stuff here. Get out of here. Get him out. But Nehemiah now was, because the reality of his concern for the work of God. And then chapter 2, verse 2, and the king said to me, why is your face sad? I can tell you're not sick. This has to be sadness of heart. You're sad in your heart. And then Nehemiah says, as he recalls this time, he said, then I was very much afraid. He knew this was serious business. The king is noticing and he's sad. But he'd been praying for an open door with this king that his heart would be changed. And now it appears God is opening the door. And he's in this moment praying boldly, now courageously in this situation. And we're going to talk more in a minute about what he did at that moment as he continued to trust in God, look to God, prayer and action. But let's move on to the quick and quiet request. This is important for us. We all probably know, like, yeah, that prayer, that persistent prayer behind the scenes. Lord, please do this, please do that. These are the needs. But sometimes we're in the middle of it. We're in the middle of the situation. The conflict, the relationship, the problem, the issue. We're there. We've been praying and like, well, now I'm here. And when we're there, the fears come upon us. Obstacles present themselves. Anxiety, anger, you know, emotions overwhelm us. And as you encounter those, as we encounter those, Nehemiah is a wonderful example of praying in the moment. Pray right there, right then, right now. Oftentimes we get derailed when we don't. Because of that anxiety, fear, whatever, we're like, oh, forget that, whatever God wants me to do, that's long gone, I can't do that one here. No, pray right there for God to guide you. We see this in verses 3 and following in the case of Nehemiah. Before we open and look at Nehemiah, I want to talk to you about somebody at Trinity Community Church, if I can. So this past week, I was talking to one of the Trinity ladies who's working with this project with the lady that we've been connected to through Your Options Medical. And she was telling me the story, and it's like, oh, that's exactly what Nehemiah did. So I'm telling you what she did just to encourage you that this is what you can do. Whatever the situation is, ministry-wise, at Trinity, personal, or whatever, this is what you can do. So she said to me, I worked it up, I had kind of the script in my mind, and I called the lady. We're from Trinity, blah, blah, blah. And then the woman, the expectant mom, said things that weren't at all in the script. And I said, what was going on with you? I was like, oh no. She said, and I said, what did you do? She said, I prayed. In my mind, in my spirit, I said, Lord, I don't know what to do here. Please guide me. Please give me peace. Please direct me. Just a real quick silent one right there. And I said, what happened? She said, it was amazing. God gave me words to speak that I knew were not my words. I was speaking things consistent with the scripture, and it was encouraging to her, and it was amazing that God directed and guided and gave me peace as I spoke that little quiet prayer right there. In so many situations of our life, in so many situations of ministry, this is what we need to remember. This is what we need to do. Exactly what Nehemiah did. Let's look at it. I said to the king, let the king live forever. This is due respect to the king because he is the king. Nehemiah wasn't foolish. But then he said, why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Nehemiah is just being honest. That's why he's sad, right? God's work is broken down. Then verse 4, then the king said to me, what are you requesting? Whoa, this is what he prayed for. This is it. This is it. And then Nehemiah, what a wise thing to do. For his heart to be calmed, for his direction to be clear and of the Lord, says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. He silently in his heart, in his mind, asked for peace, boldness, guidance, wisdom. That's that quick, quiet request. Equally bold, equally important. One 4 months, the other 4 seconds at most. One long and lots of details and maybe prayer journaling and maybe pulling out scripture. The other, just you and the Lord in a quiet moment. But both very important in planning and doing God's work. And the Lord answered Nehemiah's request. Both the 4 month and the 4 second one. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 5, we see it. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, again, due respect for the fact that he is the king, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it. There it is. That's what he wanted. Can you just send me back so I can get on with this thing and rebuild the walls? That the work isn't broken down. Like, that's an audacious request. Why would this pagan king care about the city? But he asked it. And the king said yes. Verse 6. And the king said to me, with the queen sitting beside him, there she was witnessing this whole thing. How long will you be gone? When will you return? So it pleased the king to send me. When I had given, that's all he needed was the time. When will you get back? The king granted Nehemiah's request. And ultimately, of course, it's God who granted Nehemiah's request, isn't it? The sovereign God granted Nehemiah's request. Now, as we look at this, I want us to see something that unfolds here. It's clear to me that Nehemiah, as he was doing this praying, was already planning. Now, it could be that God just supernaturally led him at this next moment, but I believe likely Nehemiah already had a list of things that he needed if he wanted to do this, because he pretty much said to the king, well, okay, since you said yes, here's all the stuff I need to do it. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, send letters, let letters be given to the governors of the province beyond the river that they may let me pass through until I come. In other words, he had thought out, hey, I need some safe passage. I need kings, letters to all these kings. So they say, oh, Artaxerxes said he can get through. He's got that one checked. And a letter be sent to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple. I need some wood for this. Can you get a letter for that one too? So yeah, that was ready with that one. And for the wall of the city and for the house I shall occupy. He had thought about the house, thought about the walls, thought about the timbers, thought about and planned for how he's going to get the timbers, where he's going to come from. They need a letter that authorized all that. Nehemiah had the specifics. He'd been doing some planning as he was doing some praying. And now as God opened the door, he said, hey, this is what I need. Quite an unfolding of events after the bold and persistent requests for 4 months and the quick and quiet requests for probably 4 seconds or less. And there's more, though. Of course, God is answering. God is working. Nehemiah is praying. Nehemiah is acting as God is guiding and directing him. But here's something that happens sometimes. That's good. And then we stop doing, or we stop noticing, or because we don't notice, we don't stay on track with doing what God wants us to do, and we're not properly orienting our continuing approach around how God is guiding and answering. But Nehemiah's noticed God's answers. I want us to consider how important it is that we see how God is guiding. See how God is working in us and through us and in us together to advance his work. There's a wonderful phrase in verse 8, and we'll consider the verses following. It says, the good hand of God was upon me. This is the way in both the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah, this idea of the hand of God upon him, of describing God's sovereignty, yes, God's graciousness to his people, yes, but in particular, God answering prayer, God directing, God guiding specifically an individual and in his work. If you look at Acts chapter 11, verse 22, the New Testament picks up this exact same language. When the work of God was progressing there in Antioch, it says, because the hand of God was upon them. This is in answer to prayer as people trust in him and follow him, but it's God doing it. God is sovereign, God is gracious, and God is directing, guiding, empowering, and answering prayers. And God's people, it's important that we notice. We notice what's really going on. We really need to kind of dial into this the kind of prayer frequency, this God answering, God sovereign, God directing frequency. And as I think about that, I'm reminded of the experience I had back when Lori and I bought a blue car back in the 80s. You know what I noticed something when we bought this blue car? I was noticing all the blue cars. Like there was all kinds of blue cars. I never knew people had blue cars. Maybe they don't anymore. I don't know. I've stopped noticing. But back then, I was like, wow, a lot of people have blue cars. When I had a blue car, I noticed blue cars. When we are tuned into God, the God frequency, the God sovereignty, the God goodness, the asking boldly and trusting God frequency, it's amazing how much we see God's hand at work, right? You've been there. When we're praying, it's like opportunity, opportunity, opportunity. We're not praying like, hey, what happened to the opportunities? Because we're not dialed in. We need to dial in to the frequency and see it and notice it. And that's what keeps us going. That keeps us reoriented around that. It's about God. It's about God's work, done God's way, for God's glory. It isn't about me. It isn't about us. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 8 is a great summary. The phrase here is used in other places in the book of Nehemiah, and as I said, in the book of Ezra, throughout the Old Testament, and even in Acts chapter 11. And the king granted me what I asked for, Nehemiah knows this, the good hand of my God was upon me. There it is. And of course, the good hand of his God being upon him resulted in all these things that happened in these following verses. I'll give you a little summary here as we roll through it. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 9. Then I came to the governors of the province beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Remember, he asked for them, he got them. Now the king had sent with me officers of the army and horsemen. So he had quite an entourage. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant heard this, it displeased them greatly that someone had come to seek the welfare of the people of Israel. Nehemiah was back to help the people, advance the work, and there were opponents already. When we set out to do God's work, there will be opponents. For sure, Satan's going to oppose us, right? And when we remember God's good hand upon us, when we see God answering, when we continue to trust Him and call out to Him, when we have those prayers in the moments of tension and anxiety, we continue on even as Nehemiah continued on. So I went to Jerusalem, was there 3 days. That's a summary of Nehemiah's actions. And there in verse 12, it tells something he did as he kind of went to inspect the wall. He says, so I rose in the night, and I with a few with me, and I told no one what God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. In other words, God had this stirring in him. He knew it was the Lord. He was watching God's hand open doors, and he was continuing on. And then verses 12 through 15, you can look at it if you want. We're not going to read it. It tells how Nehemiah in that night did an assessment of the needs of the wall. Went around on his horse, and he kind of says, where's the wall have trouble? Where's it okay? Where's it really messed up? And he noticed everything about it. And of course, this reminds us that prayer and planning, prayer and assessment go together. I just want you to know the TCC leaders, our elder team, our staff and others, we do a lot of assessing. We've been doing a lot of assessing of the walls as it relates to plans for 2021. One of the reasons why we're coming to you with a recommendation and hiring a children's ministry director is because of assessing the walls. I just want to encourage you some things we ask you to be praying for. Pray for the priority of God, the priority of prayer, the priority of God's word. Pray for our children's ministry in particular and to people to step up to serve. There's no way we can do this without a lot of folks stepping up to serve. And of course, there are other ways to serve, but we want to encourage you in those ways to serve and certainly be praying for those ways to serve. Pray that we be gathering and connecting. Gathering in worship, whether physically or in the live stream, connecting in small groups. This is vital. This is vital. More than ever, we need to connect. The church is not about an experience of delivering some content. The church is a community of believers connecting. We so need to connect with one another in this season. And small groups are a vital part of that. Please pray and connect. Grow in Christ. In small groups, be engaged in compassionate acts as God leads you. This is what God's people are called to do. We're called to do those things He directs us to individually. We're called to do those things He directs us to do together and communicate the gospel by His power as He leads and guides in our lives. Now, we're putting that stuff in front of you and other things sort of as an example of number four, the fourth facet. We call others to notice what God is doing, and to unity in doing what God is calling us as His people to do. This is what effective leaders do. Effective leaders don't just go off and say, this is my thing. Effective leaders engage God's people in doing God's collective thing. And Nehemiah called the people to act in unity to do God's work. That's precisely what we as an elder team are seeking to do here at Trinity. That's really a facet of prayer. Don't miss this. Nehemiah, as he goes to the people with this, it's all about God, God-centered prayers, calling them to see God's hand, and continuing to move forward with the work of God, but not just individually, doing it together. Verses 17 through 20 tell us about this. So 16 says the folks didn't really know what he was doing, but then we get to verse 17, Nehemiah sort of presents it officially to the leaders and the people. He says to them, "You see the trouble we are in," his assessment here, "how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision. Come, let us do the work of the gospel together as a church community. Let us be about transformation in community through the power of the gospel. Let us be sent out into our community beyond here to serve Jesus and declare Him." Nehemiah called them to act even as we call Trinity to act. As we're praying, as we're trusting God, as we're seeking Him, as we're continuing to follow, Jesus has given us a promise, hasn't He? "I will build my church." Matthew 16, verse 18. He's doing it. We're just aligning ourselves with Him in prayer and working together as He directs us to do. And notice verse 18. Nehemiah brings it back then to God and God's answers to prayer, calling out to God and seeing what God is doing. "And I told them," that is all the people there, particularly the influencers, "of the hand of my God that had been upon me, and also of the words that the king had spoken." So he delivered it all saying, "Look, God's done this. Let's get on with doing God's work and seeing Him at work." And they said, isn't this a wonderful thing? "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for the good work. If we continue on in Nehemiah, we can see how the wall was finished in just 52 days as the people worked together. Even though they encountered opposition, they continued on, trusted God, called out to God, and God's hand was upon them. Let us rise up and build. Let's do God's work. Bold and persistent requests, quick and quiet requests, noticing God's answers, calling others, God's people, to notice and do the work too. What's your response as we begin 2021? I want to just say briefly to anyone who has yet to trust Jesus, you need a personal response of faith in Him. We're not made right with God by our actions in doing His work. We're made right with God by His action in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And of course, in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 10, Nehemiah prays about his context, those whom God has redeemed. And believers in Jesus Christ are redeemed by the finished work of Jesus on the cross, by His blood. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 tell us. So that means if you haven't yet received Jesus by faith, today receive Him by faith. It's only the blood of Jesus that provides redemption from sin. You can't redeem yourself. You can't make yourself right with God. Jesus died so that you could be redeemed and could be made right with God. This is a free gift of God's grace. It comes only by faith in Him. So today decide. Today turn. Today trust in Him. And as I said last week, I think if you take that step in prayer, then tell somebody you did it. Why? Because we want to help you. We want to pray with you. We want to celebrate what God is doing. This is an answer to prayer if you've taken that step. And of course, if you have taken that step, this text is a call to action. The action of praying, the action of praying and planning, the action of praying, planning, and doing, the action of praying, planning, and doing as we persist on, courageously calling out to God and courageously acting as God directs us, and calling others of God's people to work together in doing God's work. Let us rise up and build. Let us rise up and build. You probably can imagine that it crossed my mind, maybe I should change the message today based on the events of this week. And as I thought and prayed about it, I thought, what better message to give God's people at a time of turmoil and crisis but to say, let's pray and do God's work. It's about the gospel. What people need, what families need, what our region needs, what our nation needs for its healing balm is the gospel. Let's pray and let's rise up and build. Let's do God's work. To be those people leading peaceful and quiet lives, doing good to one another and to everyone. To reflect the gospel and to speak the gospel. Let's do this together with courage and grace. And let's pray. Because prayer fuels God-led, God-glorifying action in doing God's work together. I hope you're joining us in this 21 days of prayer. And maybe even this message motivated you to move from thinking about it to doing it. But for all of us, let's be praying and let's be acting. I want to invite our team to come up here. And they're going to help us sort of move into prayer right now. They're going to be providing some music as sort of a background, and then they're going to lead us in a prayer song, a wonderful prayer song, as they were singing it and practicing, rehearsing before. I thought, that's a great song to end the service with. And so the Lord directed in that one too. But I want to invite each of us to quietly, privately right now, as the team is playing, to go to the Lord in prayer. What is it you need to be praying about and for? And then the team, after I close that in prayer, will lead us in singing this song. Let's pray together. Lord God, we call out to you, Lord. Help us not to shrink back, but to see your greatness, your grace, your power, your goodness, and to pray boldly for you to move in our lives, to use us, for you to move in Trinity Community Church, to advance your work, for you, God, to work in our nation, in our world, Lord, to see that more and more people turn to you, embrace Jesus by faith. God, this is our prayer. We ask for you to help us to continue to pray. We hope for you to help us to pray in those quick moments where we need grace, guidance, wisdom, peace, direction. Help us, Lord, to press on in the work, faithful to see your hand at work, working together in your work, for the honor and glory of Jesus. We ask it in his name for his glory. Amen. Let's stand as we close.